Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Flames Talk on a Tuesday, September 24th. Steinberg along with you wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and more. It's a Tuesday. It's time to check in with our NHL insider, Frank Saravalli from Daily Faceoff and dailyfaceoff.com. Frank, brought to you by, as always, our friends at South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit southtrailchrysler.com. Good to have Frank back with us on Tuesdays this season. Frank joins us now. Mr. Saravalli, how are you?
Pretty good, Mr. Steinberg. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. And as I was watching Monday's game at the Saddle Dome, preseason game for the Flames, they beat up on a split squad.
Wait. You didn't have both games going at once? Did you have a laptop nearby? What was going on? Give me, like, set up the scene for me.
I just watched live the home game, and I watched the road game this morning.
Slacker. Come on. Let's go. It's preseason. Get your head in the game. You need both going at once.
Do you think that I have the mental capacity to be able to do that? I don't have. I know my limitations, Frank. I knew that I would be poor at watching both if I tried, so I'd do one at a time. You gotta be at one with your limitations, right?
Know thyself. That's what they say.
Exactly. And as Connor Zary almost had a natural second period hat trick, he ended up with 3 points in the second period, had himself a really good game. I thought to myself of something you said a little earlier this season. You basically said as you're getting your kind of potential breakout players of the season piece ready, that Connor Zary might make that list. Am I right in recollecting that?
You are correct. And yeah, that list is actually coming out on Thursday, and I'll have 10 breakout players. He is the only Calgary Flame, not really too much surprise in that department, but this is a guy that I think is ready to take his game to the next level, took some humongous strides last year, and I think is ready to be a real difference maker for this team now and for the future.
How much of, maybe household name is the wrong term, but how well known do you think he is around the league at this stage? Obviously, he's very well known in this city. He was one of the stories of last season, but what about league-wide? How recognizable, what type of recognition do you think he would be getting if you threw his name out like right now on September 24th?
Not very much, to be honest. First off, I don't think a lot of the league, and when I say the league, I mean fan bases at large, I don't think they were paying much attention to the Flames last year. And beyond that, when you look at his development path, and it's been a really sort of methodical turn from, first round pick to getting where he was last year, the guys that really end up turning heads in the league that people pay attention to as rookies are guys in the Calder race, guys that are 18 years old, 19 years old, that have like display the flashy high level of skill on a nightly basis. It's not that he doesn't have parts of his game that get you really excited. It's just that he didn't fall into that category where people would have been paying a ton of attention to him last year.
Any other, I know that there probably won't be other Flames names that make your 10 breakout player list, but any other Flames players, whether it be in that realm or maybe some more household names, anybody else that you've got your eye on specifically going into this season?
Well, one guy in particular, and I think he's actually probably surprised. It's not on the same scale as what we're talking about, but one guy that I definitely have my eye on is Matt Coronato. He's someone that heading into this year, I think the Flames are really excited to see in camp, but just from early conversations that I've had now, not even a full week into camp yet, the Flames might have to make some difficult decisions here.
Yep.
And Yep. I think Coronado was a guy that was sort of right on the bubble that is playing himself into a conversation where he might be breaking camp with this team. Now, I don't want to put too fine a point on it or create a headline for you, but I can tell you that speaking to team officials, like this guy has been really impressive, and they're excited to see more as camp goes on.
He's been really good, Frank. He and I know going into training camp, talking to a couple people with the Flames, and some of the people that I, you know, probably similar people that you're talking to, just they were wondering, like, I want to know how we're going to get Coronado into the mix. It was one of the things that, I don't want to say losing sleep over, but one of the big dilemmas they had going is, okay, how do we get Matt Coronado into the everyday top nine? And part of it was going to be, is he going to show us that we need to? And so far, with 5 points in two games, he's got 3 goals in two games. So far, he's doing his part in that regard. So that's something that's a big time positive.
Yeah, it is. And look, I would say be careful in general on points in the preseason,
mm-hmm.
because I think the thing I always think back to is Ty Ratty putting up 11 points in the preseason with the Edmonton Oilers and couldn't hang on to yep. an NHL job.
Yep.
Those things tend to happen. But when you watch something like the play that Coronado made, it turns your head in a big way. And it's not just that. He's been really, I think, surprisingly complete, and he's going to really make it tough on this organization, the front office, the coaching staff. And I'll tell you another thing. This is exactly why the Calgary Flames didn't sign another forward, why they didn't bring another forward into camp on PTO. You have to provide runway and opportunity for your young players to feel like they have a chance to make it. How many years toward the end of the Daryl Sutter experiment did you go into camp thinking, okay, this roster is done and set. There's no open minds here. No one's changing any minds. He's not creating any room for any young players. And by the way, there isn't even a roster spot if you wanted one. I think they've been really mindful in the Flames front office to make sure that in this year, again, given where they're at with what they're trying to accomplish, there is quite literally nothing more important than that opportunity for players to thrive. And Coronado is someone who's taking full advantage. And I'll give you another guy who has also really turned some heads so far, and that's Brustevich. I think he's been really impressive in a lot of different areas that I think the Flames have really, they've perked an eyebrow up.
Yep. If a guy like Brustevich makes it so that the Flames decide not to sign Tyson Barrie, with no knock on Barrie at all, that's a good thing. You'd much rather have a young guy win out that job or feel like, hey, you know, we maybe don't want to sign the veteran because it might block player X. Those are the things you want a competitive camp to bear fruit on. So that could be, and Brustevich has been a big buzz around him here in this city as well, Frank.
Well, the spot I don't think would come, just FYI, like on, it wouldn't fall to Tyson Barrie, meaning like, I think they're signing Tyson Barrie either way. It would be someone else that Brustevich would push out if that were to come to pass.
Interesting. So you still feel pretty confident that Barry's going to get that contract, hey? Which you can understand. You bring a guy in on a PTO for a reason. It's hard to see with the other blue liners they've got, barring injury, you know, how Barrie and another name might be in the mix. That's all.
So who's your seven right now?
Well, if we're including Barrie, then the seven would be, we'd be talking Barrie on the right side of a third pair. Your left side guys would be Uyghur, Ball, and Bean. Your right side guys would be Barrie, Miramanov, and Anderson. So that's six. And then you're talking about a Braden Pahal maybe as a seven, a Jared Tenorti maybe as a seven, and that would make it difficult for a Brustevich or a Solovyov or somebody like that to be on this roster to start the year. And Frank, if Brustevich has to start in the American League and is with his zero professional games under his belt, that's okay. I think that people understand that, you know, sometimes some AHL time isn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him get a little taste at some point. I just don't know if it's going to be right off the hop.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the Flames side of things. Frank Saravalli's with us, Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com. He joins us on Tuesday here on Flames Talk. Did I also hear correctly on another program that may go on in this province, did I also hear correctly that perhaps you're not as high on the Vancouver Canucks this year as perhaps you were last year?
That would be correct, yes. Look, I think it's impossible to sit here today and argue that the Vancouver Canucks are as good as they were to close out last year. No Lindholm, no Zadorov. I know that Thatcher Demko was injured in the, beyond the first game or two of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So maybe not fully apples to apples, but look, and I know the Canucks made some additional changes, but this team lost some really big pieces in the offseason. I think they had a year last year where almost everything that could go right did. They got off to a hot start. Everyone was waiting for a regression that never came. And they were a really difficult team to play against. This time around, and there's been some nice, sort of additions, I would say. Like, I like the Vinny Desharnais signing. I'm looking at the rest of their group, and, you see Jake DeBrusk, and you look at being able to re-sign Dakota Joshua, who's obviously going to be out to start the year. But this is a team that has a lot of work to do. And I think they're going to be, scrapping, scratching and clawing to be a playoff team again this year. And that's not a knock on them. This is a team that, was the class of the division last year and, really put themselves in a position to be successful. Last year is last year. And they've got to have that hunger really right from jump street to be one of those top teams again. I'm not saying they can't do it. Mm-hmm. I just think they're swimming upstream this year in a way that they probably caught a lot of people by surprise, especially to start last year.
Yep.
And that's just not going to happen again. And I'll give you another team that I think is also really going to be in a tough battle to make the playoffs. And that's the Kings. There may be no more fascinating team in the Western Conference than the Los Angeles Kings, based on the trade that they made last year, last summer with Dubois, based on the lack of really talented young pieces that they have that's assimilated into their lineup after what was supposed to be a really successful rebuild. And they've got a general manager who's on the hot seat and a coach who's unproven that they've got, they're also facing some significant headwinds in order to try and get back to the postseason.
What's your read on this goaltending situation and how it might play itself out? You've got Demko and all of the injury concerns and uncertainty. You've got Seelovs and you've got Kevin Lankinen, who they signed. So what's your read on this goaltending situation going into the season?
I mean, it's pretty clear to me that they're going to open the season with Seelovs and Lankinen. And then whenever Demko gets comfortable enough to play, which when dealing with this really unique popliteus muscle that's behind his knee, and for some perspective, speaking to some doctors in sports medicine, like they're telling me you could practice medicine for 50 years and not run into this injury. Okay. It just doesn't pop up that often. But the truth is, it really affects the function of your knee. And so you're talking about a franchise backbone goaltender who played Vezina caliber hockey last year that is a real uncertainty to start the year. And there's been some frustration. I think he's been trying to work through it. But even just watching him sort of and his body language in camp to start, this is, it feels like it's going to be for Thatcher Demko a year of fits and starts. And, you know, Shelov's performed really well in the playoffs, and Kevin Lankinen could certainly be serviceable and a decent option to have as a third guy once Demko is back playing, if he's back playing. But it's a real question mark heading into this year, that's for certain.
Couple more, and I guess we'll keep going on the goaltending train. What is happening, and how is the Robin Lehner Vegas Golden Knights situation? How's this all going to end?
I don't have a firm answer for you. I believe the NHL and the NHL Players Association were meeting again about that file today. For those who don't know the story or are looking for some context and background, essentially it's this. When you are injured in the NHL, even if you haven't played the last couple seasons like Lehner hasn't, and this season was expected to be the third straight year to end out his contract that he was unable to play due to injury, you're mandated by the CBA to show up to the first day of training camp to undergo a medical exam, which will then confirm that you are unfit to play. The moment that Robin Lehner did not show up does indicate that the Vegas Golden Knights would have pretty firm backing under the CBA to actually terminate that contract, which means he wouldn't receive the final $4.5 million remaining that's owed to him. And more than that, they would be off the hook for his $5 million cap hit, which they'd love to be not operating in LTIR. So this is a big, significant piece of business for the Golden Knights. The trouble, or I shouldn't say trouble, the complicating part of this is we all know Robin Lehner has been through a lot throughout the entirety of his career. Bipolar, anxiety, drug and alcohol abuse, you name it, he's gone through it. And that guy's been through the ringer. He was upfront and honest with the Vegas Golden Knights weeks ago saying, I can't be there. I can't make it. And so they're trying to sort out now, What does this look like? Is there a settlement? Is there, you know, how do we navigate around this? And I think the NHLPA has to be really careful that there's not a precedent set here, especially for a player who has been injured for a long time and unable to play, that he's not getting money that should be guaranteed to him.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm really curious, and no wonder you don't have a firm answer as to how this is going to end, because it seems like it's very much swimming in the ether. Two more goalies. Boston.
I don't know what else to say. It's like, again, it's really complicated. Why can't he be there? I think for his own protection, it's probably better off that that part stays private. Like, it's, there's a whole lot happening behind the scenes.
For sure, and I would never want you to, like, absolutely, and that's, he's fully
entitled
to that
privacy. I just want listeners to understand that, you know, there's a reason why this is being talked about the way that it is.
No, fair enough. Boston and Jeremy Swayman, anything going on there? Anything new?
I don't have an update there. It seems to be status quo. You know, it's kind of all eyes on him. You got Perfetti done in Winnipeg, and that seemed to be pretty reasonable. And now it kind of looks like we're looking at you, Jeremy Swayman. You know, I just talked about Demko being the backbone of that Canucks team, especially without Linus Ullmark, who, parentheses, is hurt for the Ottawa Senators in training camp, at least dinged. That, you know, I think it's fair to say that a huge part of what the Bruins hope to accomplish this year hinges on the back of Swayman, and his ability to uphold the standard that he set the last few years with Ullmark, which has been, I'd say conservatively, Boston's goaltending has been worth 10 plus standings points per year, meaning they've played well, but their goaltending has been so good that it's worth an additional 10 points in the standings each year based on save percentage and expected goals. And there's a reason why that team's been finishing at 109, 120, 100 and whatever points. Their goaltending's been lights out. And if you were to delete some points from that, all of a sudden you're having a different conversation about a different Bruins team.
Yep. Finally, Igor Shesterkin's about to start his final season under contract with the New York Rangers. He is UFA in less than a year. What's happening on an extension with Shesterkin and the Rangers?
So there was a report in The Athletic, I think a day or two ago, that basically said if Igor Shesterkin is not signed to a new deal by the start of the regular season, that Shesterkin's camp will not be entertaining contract talks. And in other words, we'll see you in the off season and, you know, potentially on his way out the door from Madison Square Garden as an unrestricted free agent. That said, the New York Rangers sources indicate are, you know, in constant communication with the Shesterkin camp. I don't think that was meant to be a negative. And I also don't think at the same time that the Rangers are at all fazed by any sort of artificial deadline that the Shesterkin camp wants to put on this. I think from a Rangers perspective, they wholeheartedly agree that he's a top priority, the top priority. He's arguably, and we'll see what happens with, you know, the end of his career and where it all stacks up, but he's on track to be as good or better than Henrik Lundqvist and certainly could go down as one of the best goalies in franchise history, and they want to keep him for the long haul. They also readily agree that this is going to be a new record setter for goalies in the NHL. He is going to surpass Carey Price's AAV. But if the ask was in the $12-plus million range per year, that part isn't going to happen, I don't think. And the Shesterkin camp is probably going to need to readjust some expectations. Not to say that he's not worth it. It's just that the Rangers need to fill out the rest of their team. And you saw how that Price contract really, I think, limited the Habs in what they could and could not build around him, to the point that the Rangers want to make sure that as they're in this sort of championship window, the goalie is such a big part of it, but they don't want to hamstring themselves and cut off their chances to build that team. So there's going to need to be some give and take.
Great stuff as always, Frank. Thank you, pal. We'll talk next week.
Thanks so much, Pat. Have a good night.
Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, Tuesdays on Flames Talk. And he always joins us, brought to you by our friends at South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit southtrailchrysler.com.